Picture a Saturday afternoon. You plan this cross-country for 2 weeks. Bags are packed, the family's coming, and the forecast this morning said marginal but improving. You launch 40 minutes out, the horizon starts to go soft. The hills ahead have their tops in the gray. And that little voice in the back of your head says, it'll probably open up on the other side. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. That moment I just described, the one where the airplane is fine, the engine is fine, and the only thing failing is your willingness to admit the weather won. That moment has killed more good pilots than any mechanical failure ever will. Today we're going to walk through it together, because here's the number that ought to be tattooed on the inside of every windscreen. 178 seconds. Let me tell you where that comes from. Back in 1954, researchers at the University of Illinois ran a study. They took 20 pilots, all of them healthy, all of them capable, and none of them trained to fly on instruments. They put them in simulated instrument conditions, the kind of gray you get when you fly into a cloud and lose the horizon. And they measured how long each pilot kept the airplane under control before things came apart. The average was 178 seconds, just under 3 minutes. The best of them lasted a little longer. Some lasted less than a minute, but not one of those 20 pilots flew out the other side in one piece. Every single one lost control. Now the study's been quoted and requoted for 70 years, and folks argue about the exact methodology. Fine, but the finding has been backed up by decades of accident data since, and the point survives every argument. When a pilot who isn't trained and current on instruments blunders into the clouds, the clock starts, and it is a short clock. I want you to sit with that, because the whole reason we're here today isn't to scare you, it's to move the fight to a place where you can actually win it. And that place is not inside the cloud. It's the decision you make 3 minutes before you ever get there. Before we go further, let me give a quick shout out to the folks who help keep this show on the air. Our friends at AviationSoul.com make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument rating? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you earn one landing at a time. Take a look. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into the meat of it. The trap here has a name. We call it continuation bias, and some old-timers call it get-there-itis. It's the pull to keep going with the plan you already made, even as the world in front of you is telling you the plan is dead. And it is one of the most powerful forces in aviation, because it doesn't feel like a mistake, it feels like commitment. It feels like being the kind of pilot who follows through. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The airplane does not care about your plans. It does not know your daughter has a recital tonight. It does not know you already paid for the hotel. The weather is a physical fact, and continuation bias is your brain quietly rewriting that fact so you can keep doing what you already decided to do. So let's build the scenario out, and let's find the exit doors. Because there are several, and every one of them opens earlier than you'd think. Exit door number one is the kitchen table. That's the go or no-go, long before you touch the airplane. When you look at that forecast and it says marginal VFR, ceilings around 1500, visibility around 4 miles, and you tell yourself it'll improve, I want you to stop and ask a harder question. What's my personal minimum? Not the legal minimum, yours. The regulations will let you fly in some genuinely ugly weather. Class G airspace during the day, you can legally fly clear of clouds with 1 mile of visibility. 1 mile. Let me tell you, 1 mile of visibility in a moving airplane is a smear of gray with almost no horizon. Legal is not the same as smart, and it is nowhere near the same as safe. So set your own number, and set it when you're calm, on the ground, with a cup of coffee, not when you're airborne and the pressure is on. Maybe your number is 3,000-foot ceilings and 8 miles. Maybe as you gain experience it comes down, but you write it down and you honor it. Like it's a limitation printed in the airplane's own handbook, because a personal minimum you'll break under pressure isn't a minimum. It's a suggestion. Exit door number two is the good weather briefing, and knowing what the words are really telling you. When flight service or your briefing tells you VFR not recommended, that is not a locked gate, but it is a flare fired straight up in front of you. It means the conditions along your route meet the criteria where non-instrument pilots get into trouble. That phrase exists because of accidents, real ones. Treat it that way, and watch for the sneaky one, the trend. It's not just what the weather is, it's where it's going. A ceiling that's been dropping 200 feet an hour is going to keep dropping while you're strapped in. Read the change groups in that forecast. When you see BECMG or Tempo bringing lower ceilings into your arrival window, that's the sky telling you the door is closing. Believe it. Now let's say you're already airborne. You did everything right and the weather still went bad on you, because sometimes it does. This is exit door number 3, and it is the most important one, so we're going to spend real time here. You are VFR. The horizon is going soft. The visibility ahead is turning to milk. Here is the decision, and I want you to make it out loud, right now in the airplane, before it's forced on you. Turn around. The 180-degree turn back toward the good weather you just flew through is the single most valuable maneuver you own, and it is criminally underused. Think about it. The air behind you? You just flew it. You know, for a fact, it was good, because you were just there 30 seconds ago. The air in front of you is a gamble, so when in doubt, you turn toward the certainty, you turn back. Let's walk through how you actually do it, because the how matters. The moment you decide before the horizon is completely gone, you make a gentle standard rate turn. Standard rate, not a yank, you pick a heading that's the reciprocal of your course. You use your heading indicator and you roll out, level the wings, hold your altitude, and fly back into the light. Don't try to be a hero, don't try to sneak underneath, scud running down in the valley with the terrain reaching up for you and the wires you can't see. You turn around while turning around is still easy. The reason we drill this is that the turn gets exponentially harder the longer you wait. In good visibility with a horizon, a standard rate turn is nothing. You've done 10,000 of them, but once you're actually in the cloud, with no horizon, that same turn becomes the exact maneuver that killed all 20 pilots in that Illinois study. In a bank with no outside reference, your inner ear starts lying to you. You feel like you're climbing when you're descending. You feel level when you're rolling. That's spatial disorientation. And it is not a weakness, it's just how the human body is built. Every one of us is vulnerable to it. This is why we practice under the hood with a safety pilot, the recovery from unusual attitudes. It's in the airman certification standards for exactly this reason. The examiner is looking for you to recover using only the instruments and to do it before airspeed or altitude get away from you. That's not a box to check for the check ride. That's a 3-minute survival skill the FAA is trying to hand you before you need it. But hear me clearly. That skill is your parachute, not your plan. The recovery under the hood exists to buy you seconds if you blunder in. It is not permission to fly into the cloud. The whole game is to never need it. Let me give you the mental model that ties this together. The FAA teaches a decision-making loop, and one version is the 3P method: perceive, process, perform, perceive the hazard. The weather ahead is deteriorating. Process what it means for you, this airplane, this flight. I'm not instrument current. The terrain is rising and the ceiling is coming down to meet it. And then perform, turn around or divert or land. And here's the part everybody forgets. You run that loop again and again, every few minutes. Decision making isn't one moment. It's a wheel that keeps turning the whole flight. The killer is when a pilot runs that loop once at the kitchen table, decides go, and then never runs it again. They lock the decision and stop looking. So build yourself a trigger. Every checkpoint, every 15 minutes, you ask out loud, given what I see right now, if I were starting fresh, would I launch into this? If the answer is no, you don't need any more information. You already have your decision. You just have to be brave enough to act on the pilot you'd be if you weren't already committed. Let me give you one more real scenario, because this is where people actually die, and it's not always the obvious one. Not always the dramatic wall of gray. Sometimes it's the slow squeeze at dusk. You're finishing a long day. You're a little tired, the sun's going down and taking the horizon with it, and a thin layer of haze you barely notice at altitude turns the ground lights into a blur. You're not in a cloud, on paper you're legal VFR. But functionally, you have no horizon, and your body has already started to lie to you. That is the same 3-minute clock, just quieter. Nobody warned you because technically nothing changed. That's why night haze and a tired pilot over dark terrain deserve the same respect as a solid overcast. The horizon can leave without a single cloud in the sky. So, let's bring it home with the takeaways you can actually use on your next flight. Set your personal weather minimums on the ground when you're calm and write them down. Treat VFR not recommended and a lowering trend as the warnings they are, not dares. In the airplane, run your decision loop out loud at every checkpoint and ask whether you'd launch into what you're looking at right now. And if the horizon starts to go, make the 180 early while it's still easy, back toward the air you already know is good. The turn you make at 3 minutes to spare is a non-event. The one you try at zero is the accident report. The best pilots I've ever flown with are not the ones with the smoothest hands. They're the ones who turned around, landed short of the goal, sat out a night in a strange town, and told the story later with a shrug. There is no trophy for pressing on. The trophy is the next flight, and the one after that. The 178-second figure and the research behind it come from that 1954 University of Illinois study, kept alive over the years by the AOPA Air Safety Institute, and the decision-making tools we walk through are laid out in the FAA's own Risk Management Handbook, which is free to download and worth an evening of your time. If you want links to any of it, we keep things at RadioHangar.com. Fly the airplane you've got, in the weather you've actually got, not the one you hoped for this morning. Turn around early. I'll see you back in the pattern.